I have called you friends, says the Lord, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. I have called you friends. The implication of our adoption in Christ perhaps is not readily clear to many of us. The fact that in Christ we have become children of God directly and immediately, that Jesus has extended what was rightfully just His to every Christian by revealing to us the Father's heart, the Father's plan, and the Father's love for us. In commanding us as well to love one another, He is asking us to live in that bond that is strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And we must be careful, even while living out the Christian command to love, not to be imposing our wills on others, but to truly be seeking out their well-being for their own good. For love is always a movement from the beloved to the lover for the other's sake. Jesus demonstrated His love for us by hanging on the cross. Love one another, He says, as I love you. So the standard and the paradigm is the crucifix. That is the measure of His love. And that is the extent to which we must be prepared to go. This is true for spouses, for Christians, for children, and for all of us. The Lord was saying this prior to His crucifixion, the night before He suffered. The instruction given here was perhaps His last instructions to His friends. The dynamism and the meaning of that text applies to all of us for all times. As I have loved you, love one another. The love of Christ never fails. The love of Christ has never stopped. And nothing can separate us from that love if we understand the meaning and implication of the love of Christ. When we step into this church and we realize we're stepping outside time into heaven, we leave our worries and troubles at the door outside. And we open our hearts to grace and to Christ and to the Holy Spirit. We will leave this house very different men and women. But if we allow our minds to be clouded by all the worries and troubles, and everything the sons of men would like us to think and worry about, then we can come in here and leave perhaps worse than we came, not understanding why we're here. The Lord says to us, I have loved you. And that love has not stopped as long as you can look up at the altar and see Him hanging on that tree. Live in that love, He says. What else do you want Him to tell you? Live in that trust. What else do you need from Him except the reassurance that He is with you? The things that frighten us often do not come from God. They come from men. The things we worry about really has nothing to do with His will. It is also our fears, our lack of trust, our lack of faith. And we do all this to ourselves. It is not God doing it to us. It is a choice we make. The love of God can never fail. But yes, we will be tested. Life will be difficult and tough. But nothing compares to His love. How come Jesus did not stop loving us when we crucified Him? How come He's the measure of our love and we don't look up to Him, we look to ourselves? So why can't we love and trust Him even when things are kind of funny like it is at the present time? That is the reason why the Son of Man suffered what He suffered, to give us strength at times like this. If we have no strength, it is not because it is not available to us. If we have no meaning and purpose, it is not because He is not talking to us. He promised, I will be with you always until the end of the age. You choose to believe it or you don't. There was a crisis in the early church, as recounted in the Acts of the Apostles. Some of the Christians who were Jews originally, began to preach in Antioch. But unless you were circumcised according to the Jewish tradition, your Christianity was of no consequence. You had to be circumcised first. Baptism was not as important as circumcision. In fact, throughout the ministry of Paul, he had to deal with people like that called Judaizers. People wanted to make you Jews first before you became Christian. Even because of the pressure from that group, Paul had to circumcise Timothy, who was Greek by origin. It must have been a painful affair. But if you read Paul's letter to the Galatians, he talks again and again and again and again about the fact that we are not saved by the law of Moses. We're saved by grace in Christ. Paul is trying to teach the Jews who were still insisting that circumcision must come first before baptism. So some of the brothers in Antioch chose Paul and Barnabas to go to Jerusalem and consult the apostles about this question. There was a tension in the community, in the church at Antioch in Syria. So Paul and Barnabas come to Jerusalem and recount what had happened on their first missionary journey. And they tell the apostles and presbyters in Jerusalem that the Gentiles had come to the faith and proposed the question that was troubling the church in Antioch before the council of the apostles. This was the first council to be held in the church, called the Council of Jerusalem. So you hear the church choosing Judas and Silas and sending them to Antioch, even with a written letter, along with Paul and Barnabas, to announce to the brothers that they do not wish to impose any unnecessary rules on them about circumcision, as long as they were faithful to the commandments and also avoiding meat sacrificed to idols and unlawful marriage. They gave stipulations like that, which were temptations for Gentiles becoming Christians. If they were able to do just that, that was fine. So there was peace after that. But that group of Judaizers went all over Europe preaching the same thing, and Paul will confront them and they would persecute him a whole lot. Brothers and sisters, I wish that the official church would speak to us at times like this, when there is so much confusion and people don't know what to think. I know what is going on. I think you should know what is going on. I have attempted over the years to warn you about things that are coming. Sometimes I say stuff, you just listen, you think maybe I sound smart, maybe something's wrong with him, but you don't pay attention. I have always explained that there are trials and temptations to come for the world, and for the church, that we will be tested and tried. I preached that again and again in 2018. I tried to explain the things that were to come in relation to the project of building the chapel. I have said that over and over and over. I have also explained that these days are the beginning of the trials. This is just the first phase. There's no need. If this frightens you, what about what is to come? And the reason is that the world no longer believes in God. I'm speaking generally. That is the worst virus. The lack of faith, the lack of faith in God the Father, who created everything we see. The indifference to the things about God. And the fact that the sons of men want to impose their wills on everybody and make us do things that are not right. Today we have a crisis of truth. If people shout the loudest and have money, then everybody believes them, even if what they're saying is not true. The basis for truth is not scripture. No one even listens to the church. The other aspect of it is that the church doesn't speak out anyway. So some people are seeking to control history, and that is not the plan of the Father. So you think he's just going to wait and let them get away with it? So if they're going to be purified, everybody will be purified too. But you don't have to be afraid. You have to believe what you believe. If you have believed it, you have to hold on firmly to Christ. That is what will save you from these times. Holding on to Christ. Live in my love, he says, and love one another. That is what will save us. Love. True love from the heart. A religion that is founded in your heart and your Christian conviction. So be very careful what you hear today. Be very careful who's talking to you. Be very careful which narrative you're listening to, which protocol is controlling you. Give your heart and your life to Christ. Trust absolutely in Him. It is not His intention to frighten anyone or to destroy us. No! But think for 1 minute like a loving father. You would want to save all your children. I have realized recently that even among parents, when children do stuff, the tendency is to let them get by each time. And you hope that they will improve or change. Sometimes we are not firm enough to teach them what is right because we think we don't want to hurt them or traumatize them. God is not like that. The purpose of creation was that we all serve Him and come to heaven. His plan was to bring us into union with Him. His plan was to share His life with us, the fullness of everything we desire is in heaven. Now tell me, if we don't grasp that fact, that plan is completely ruptured. If we don't get to heaven, His plan is not fulfilled. So is God going to sit back and let the world crash into hell or do something to save us? If He is a loving Father, He has to intervene because we cannot help ourselves. The plan has to be fulfilled. It has to be fulfilled. And He has been extremely patient with us. I can point to historical events and show you year after year, generation after generation, what God has been doing and what He has been warning us about. And that's really, well, in some quarters we're listening, in some aspects we're not. Look around you. What really bothers us? Comfort. If you're not well, we're frightened. Oh, if there's no food, we want to have strokes. If we don't have the right car, the right coffee, the right this, those things bother us so much. What about doing God's will? We are not seriously upset when people are not doing God's will. We just look away. Sometimes our children, in our very families, we do nothing about it. We're afraid to speak up. Because we don't want to lose the friendship of those people. What about their souls? So God has to act. He has to act. Love must compel Him to act. For love cannot let us be lost. It is not possible. So it is necessary for the world to be tested. It is necessary for what is happening to happen, to wake as many as possible up, and many will not wake up, so there will be another one, and a final one. The next one will be more severe. The final one will be it. After that, there will be peace. So speak to people about repentance. Speak to them about faith and hope and love. Speak to anyone who cares to listen about these things. That is how you keep yourself safe. It is not just to hide or to ostrich by hiding your head under whatever they tell you to do. Talk to people about Christ. Talk about eternal life. Talk about heaven and hell. That is how you spare yourself from the wrath. If you keep quiet, okay. Any souls that are lost on your account, you pay for it. This is what this is about, my friends, salvation. For as many as possible. It is our business because of Christ. The world seeks to protect us from dying, but He seeks to bring us into heaven. Now compare those two. Which is more important? No one is talking about prayer. No one is talking about the Ten Commandments. No one is talking about being faithful to the teachings of the church. No one is talking about the Christian ethics. No one is talking about anything like that. But everyone is talking about being safe from the virus. The virus will come and go. What about heaven? So it is a painful subject if you can see what is going on, if you understand why the Blessed Mother has been warning us. She has been coming forward how many years now, telling us things will happen, things will happen. Many people don't pay attention. For us in Luling, we should be at the forefront of anything about the Blessed Mother. That's why we're building her a home. Why does she want to come stay here? Because there's going to be serious trials and we can run to her for comfort. That is the reason for that building. Because things will happen and you will not know what to do and you can come to her. That is why she came here. That is the purpose for the chapel. I'm not just doing it because I can do things. I was instructed to do it for your good. It all points to the fact that things will happen and you have a place to protect you. So somehow we will be spared. But you have to work. We have to talk to as many people as possible. We have to be serious with our faith, every part of it, especially the aspect that nobody sees between you and Jesus from heart to heart. Everything counts. What you teach your children, what you do with your friends, with your family, everything counts. God sees everything. So please be serious with your faith. Be serious about serious matters. Don't get confused at all. Do not be afraid of these times. It is necessary that we be purified. Even the church has to be purified. Then we can be the best version of ourselves. That is the purpose of the plan of the Father. Not just to make us complacent. We have to be the best we can be. So tell everyone that sanctity, holiness, and righteousness is what the Father demands from all his children. Make the effort. The effort justifies you. Tell everyone about it. If we can guarantee that we will make the effort, everything will be fine. But if we do not change, I'm not talking to you directly, I'm just saying we in general, the world, then what is going to happen will definitely happen. But do not be afraid. If you hold on to Christ, you will be spared. Do not be afraid for your children or for babies. They will be protected. That's not the problem. But give your heart to Christ and bring as many souls to him as possible. The world is not ending. But this is necessary to break the stranglehold of corrupt men and women of power from stifling the world. Think about it. Let us pray.